Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head. You know I'm hungry.
Well, hello, hello, hello. And welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, here to dish up some deliciously delectable, consciousness-raising creations for your mind, body, and soul. As always, I want to always pause and say thank you to Gay Adegbolola, who brings us in with her Hungry Woman Blues. And you know we have the cure for that, Hungry Woman, Hungry Man Blues. On this show, where on first and second Sundays at 6, we serve up a big dish on natural and holistic healing to feed your mind, body, and soul. Before we get into our wonderful, wonderful program tonight, I want to pause to share with you a little bit about myself. Spirit has called me to work within my practice and ministry, Mind, Body, and Spirit Works, to facilitate expression of one's highest self through divinely inspired and assisted holistic healing, teaching, coaching, and writing services. And my holistic table has served up a lot of different offerings over the past several years, one of which is Mind, Body, and Soul Food, which has provided an opportunity each month to feed our many listeners with mind, body, and soul-nourishing information as we give voice to the vision of some really gifted holistic healers and light workers. And I'm always so grateful for the listeners out there who support the show. And I want to give a special shout-out to those who tuned in last month. On the first Sunday, we had Reverend Anthony Farmer, who shared messages from a mystic. And then on the second Sunday, we had author A.D. Burks. And he gave us the naked truth from his book, Sex and Surrender, An Addict's Journey. And that was part of Addiction Recovery Month. So if you missed either show or any of the shows that we've had over the past 4-plus years, you can always check them out on demand. So tonight, I am so thrilled to share with the listeners another one of my spiritual teachers and friends. He is a powerhouse of information, and the way I look at him, he has talent from the top of his beautiful bald head down to the tips of his toenails. And I first met him in 2006, when I joined Tacoma Park Metaphysical Chapel in Silver Spring. And what a blessing that has been. So let's give a huge mind, body, and soul food welcome to Reverend Jim Webb. Welcome, Jim.
Oh, Tanya, it's such a pleasure and such a joy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's so good to have you. And, you know, I almost introduced you as the Reverend Jim Webb.
That's quite all right. That's all right.
Well, you know, I've known you for quite some time now, and I just want the listeners to know a little bit more about you as well. So if you could share with them who you are and what do you serve up at your healing table?
Yes, I would be happy to. I am a counselor, a teacher. I support people through coaching. I also am an intuitive, offering intuitive guidance for people. And I support people in removing blockages to their good, to their prosperity, and to their fulfillment by identifying unconscious blockages and working with them spiritually to release those blockages so that they can create their own path to all the contentment that they desire and deserve. And I do this in a number of different ways based on what any of my clients need. Some people simply need counseling. Some people need counseling with intuitive insights. Some people need intuitive guidance. And some people need the spiritual energy that comes through me in the form of the masters of planetary healing and transformation to transform them at the deepest levels of their souls. And so whatever is needed is what I offer based on my clients and their needs and their desires.
Now that is a mouthful. And I have seen you at work. I have experienced your wonderful healing. And I am just really glad that others who may not be as familiar with you outside of our circle will get a chance to experience you this evening. Now, you know, a lot of folks associate you with Tacoma Park Chapel because you are the senior minister there and you just celebrated another anniversary. If you can, this is a perfect opportunity to talk about some of the work that you do there. So much is going on right now. What's happening at the chapel?
Well, there's so much happening, but the essence of all that is happening at the chapel is that it is a community of love. People come through the door and they feel the love of our community. They feel a sense of unity. They feel a sense of belonging, and they feel a sense of being at home with other like-minded individuals who support them on their journey. And we support people on their spiritual journey, whatever that may be, in a number of different ways. We, of course, have this wonderfully uplifting Sunday service that's full of song and outstanding messages of spiritual growth and grace that help people throughout their week. We also have healing on Wednesday nights, and we have meditation circles on Wednesday nights. In addition to that, we have all message services, we have psychic fairs, and we have morning and noon calls. The morning call is a call based on A Course in Miracles, where every morning we cover a lesson in A Course in Miracles, and then we do some meditation and healing on that lesson and prayer. And then we also have a noon call, and that noon call is a noon prayer call. So I just outlined a few of the many ways that we support people. But no matter what way we support people, people feel loved. We also have a number of different classes and workshops for healing the mind, healing the body, healing the spirit. And people also get a sense of community in our classes and workshops.
Yes, well, I can certainly attest to all of that, having experienced or even at times provided service with some of those wonderful ministries there.
Yes.
So actually, the chapel is about to have a wonderful fall event, the Fall Wonderment. What is that about?
Fall Wonderment is our annual... we call it a fundraiser because it is, of course, to raise funds, but we do so in a very fun way that's fun for everyone. This is a gala event, and it's an evening of music, live performances. It's also an evening of wonderful food and fellowship. And throughout the evening, everybody who attends will have opportunities to have readings with some very powerful readers. The Reverend Daniel Newsom's coming down from New York. Reverend Marcus Capone from the Institute for Spiritual Development. This fellow named Reverend Jim Webb as well. And in addition to the readings, they'll have opportunities to do things like Reiki. Now, I know, Tanya, you teach a wonderful Reiki class at the Tacoma Park Chapel, and you had a Reiki share there. So people are familiar with the power of Reiki. So they'll have opportunities to have Reiki sessions, massage, and other spiritual services. And this is all for one fixed suggested donation that is a fundraiser for the chapel.
Well, it sounds wonderful, this wonderment, and I am looking forward to attending.
Yes, it should be so much fun. And One of the key parts of this fall wonderment is our annual silent auction. And I have some good news to share about that. Yes.
Okay.
I have some good news to share about that. This has not been shared with the public yet because it just happened. So I'm so excited about this.
Okay.
We have had one of our chapel angels come forward to donate, listen to this, one iPhone, one iPad, and one MacBook for our silent auction.
Wow. Wow.
And yeah, it's so exciting. So in addition to the wonderful things that we auction off at the silent auction, for example, a fitness basket, which includes a yoga mat, a set of perfect push-ups, and other fitness things like workout gloves, in addition to health and healing baskets, which include teas and soaps and the like, and other gifts of clothing and jewelry. We'll also have items like that at our silent auction that somebody might be able to get for much less than their retail value, and all of the benefit goes to the chapel.
Yay. Well, you know, the silent auction is near and dear to my heart, and I will be working with it again this year and donating. And
yes.
I have to say that it's not all altruistic, because one of the perks of helping with the silent auction is I know exactly what's being donated. And because I'm working the tables, I can keep a close eye on my bids. I shouldn't tell my secrets, right?
Right.
Well, that sounds awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I know we'll get other wonderful donations for the silent auction, and that the whole fall wonderment will be truly a success.
Yes, we're expanding it too, and that people can bid electronically this year for the first time.
Oh, all right. Getting fancy on us.
We're getting fancy, so you can send a text with your bid and your item. We're going to be in our emails and on our website. We're going to feature items and entertain bids electronically for those items.
Oh, that sounds awesome. All right, folks. Well, you heard it here. And we'll make sure that people will have not just your contact information, but contact information for the chapel in case they want to place some bids.
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, some people just associate you with Tacoma Park Chapel, and some know about your other practice, but, you know, there are more levels to you. You get about quite a bit. You speak at other places. You've served as faculty of InterVisions Institute for Spiritual Development. You're a published author with another book that you're working on. Please tell us about your books.
Oh, sure. My first book is entitled Pathways to Inner Peace. It's available on Amazon.com and through me, of course. This book is simply a metaphysical primer for moving through the blockages that keep you from peace. You see, our consciousness is like an iceberg. Part of our consciousness is above the surface, just like part of an iceberg is above the surface. But just like most of an iceberg is beneath the surface of the water, a lot of our consciousness that creates our experience is beneath the surface of our awareness. And when we become aware of that which is beneath the surface, we can heal it and transform it, and it will no longer sink our ship in the way that the bottom of the iceberg sunk the Titanic. So Pathways to Inner Peace offers a method of spiritual healing and transformation that enables people to overcome their unconscious blockages to their good that they made open to the peace and joy that they desire. And it's a wonderful, wonderful way to support people in working on their path. And that's my first book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I did another one.
All right. Tell us about that one.
Okay. The first one was very interesting because it came from that deep place within, and it related my path of healing from a very difficult and abused childhood through and the techniques that I learned and used to reach a place of contentment that few can imagine. The second one was rather easy because I didn't write it. It's called Channeled Messages from the Masters, The Keys to Enlightened Living. And some people don't realize that I channel this group of beings, this group of entities called the Masters of Healing and Planetary Transformation. And their purpose is to help us to heal and transform from our lower selves to our higher selves so that we can in turn help the planet to heal and transform. And so every Monday night for the last 20 years or so, we've gotten together with a group of people, just like you and me, lots of people from all walks of life who have had different paths to God, but they all have one thing in common, their humanity. And so the masters teach, they lecture, they offer spiritual healing energy, and they offer answers to questions. Now, most of these questions are very human in nature, like love, money, professional success, family relationships, healing deep wounds, connecting with God. And so what the second book is all about is we took the lectures and the answers that they gave to these people on these key subjects, and we put them in specific chapters. There's a chapter on relationships, where the masters talk about relationships. Then we have actual transcripts of people who have had questions about relationships and the answers to those questions. And the way that we chose the material is we chose the questions that were most universal about every aspect of life, whether it be relationships or prosperity or spiritual growth or professional attaining professional fulfillment or healing. We took the most frequently asked and the most universal questions, and we took the questions that people have asked, of course not naming their names, and the answers that they offered, knowing that these questions and the answers are universal. So that second book is called Channeled Messages from the Masters, The Keys to Enlightened Living, and it's kind of a precursor to my third book.
Okay, tell us about the third book.
Well, the third book is called The Soul of Prosperity. Mm. And it is not channeled, nor is it based on my experiences of healing and what I've learned to share with others, but it is a combination of all the information that I've been able to amass over the, and I'm really reluctant to say this, but I'm going to come out on your show and tell everybody.
Tell
it. I've been in this metaphysics business for over 30 years now.
All right, now.
You know, my brochures and stuff, they still say I've been practicing metaphysics for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually been practicing metaphysics for over 30 years, and truth be told, almost 40 years. I started reading stuff when I was 12, 13 in my adolescence. In the early 70s, when there wasn't much around, there was only a couple of books by Edgar Cayce, about Edgar Cayce by Jess Stern. There was a book by Gina Sermonara, Many Mansions. The Seth material had just come out in the early 70s, and I was right there reading all that stuff. And so I've been at this for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what I've learned, I've put into practice in my life. And one of the most misunderstood areas of spirituality is prosperity.
Yes.
You see, in our minds, we often have a disconnect between prosperity and spirituality. The first thing that we do, which is a mistake, is we assume that prosperity has nothing to do with spirituality, that, you know, we believe that old idea, money is the root of all evil, and if we want
right.
to live joyful spiritual lives, we've got to reject money. Now, the second issue that we often have with prosperity is believing that it's about money. Because prosperity
right.
has very little to do with money. Prosperity has to do with a sense of deep inner peace, a sense of spiritual connection. Prosperity has to do with that deep sense of spiritual connection and well-being, and allowing that deep inner sense of connection and well-being to be outpictured in our world in the form of relationships that are supportive, in the form of professional pursuits that are supportive, in the form of a life that seems to support us, and in the form of joy and fulfillment. And if that takes money, then money is a part of it, but it's not the be-all and the end-all. It's an end product of that inner prosperity. And when we understand that, when I explain prosperity that way, a lot of people say, well, wait a minute, that sounds just like spirituality. And I say, well, yes, that's because it is. Prosperity is a part of spirituality. It is not the antithesis of spirituality. And when people understand that, they then are more willing to do the soul work to create their prosperity.
Yes.
So the book is entitled The Soul of Prosperity, and it has to do with doing the soul work necessary to create prosperity. And I'm working on a final draft of that for its eventual publication in the next several months.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful news.
Yes.
Wow. So. Well, thank you for sharing about your wonderful books and what's to come. I know that folks will be lining up to explore that further, because that is new for a lot of people. I know it's familiar to us who have, explored that for some time, and but for many people, that is a new concept, and it's a foreign concept, and it may take a little bit to adjust to that. So I'm hoping that we're coming to a time in on our planet where more and more people are open to that idea.
Yes, yes. It's an idea whose time has come. You see, deep in our unconscious mind lies the erroneous idea that we must struggle in order to earn God's approval, that we must in some way mimic what we know of Jesus, the Christed man, and visit the seven stations of the cross and go through pain and agony in order to receive God's grace. This is even in our popular consciousness in the form of no pain, no gain.
Mm-hmm.
And when we understand that that's a misperception, and that God's will for us is perfect happiness, and that we can allow ourselves to experience that perfect happiness, and there is no price to be paid for it, we can allow our lives to be easy, joyful, and more effortless. And we can release any unconscious desire to struggle or to pay a ransom for our good. And that's what the soul of prosperity helps us to do.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you have spoken a bit about your intuitive gifts as well as your ability to tap in and channel the masters. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about your special gifts, which you'll be sharing with our listeners in a little bit. I'm always fascinated to hear psychics, intuitives, channels tell about how they came into their gifts. Please tell us, what's your story?
Okay. Well, first of all, my mother kind of had the gift.
Mm.
And it was very interesting because she was a Christian woman. And let me just underline that. She wasn't a Christian woman. She was a Christian woman, and I think you get the gist of what I mean when I say that.
Yeah.
And so she didn't have our current New Age vocabulary or anything like that. So when I was a kid, she would say things like, oh, Miss City Bailey came and visited me last night, and she sat at the foot of the bed, and we just talked. And I'm thinking, I was there. Miss City Bailey didn't come and visit. She wasn't sitting at the foot of my mother's bed. They weren't talking. And besides, I thought Miss City Bailey died like 20 years ago.
Mm.
And then I realized, oh, that's what she meant.
Oh,
Many in my family had the gift. My aunt had an Aunt Melinda, and after she died, my Aunt Esther said, "Oh, Aunt Melinda just swirled into the room." And I'm like, I was a kid, of course. And I'm like, well, how could she swirl into the room? She died.
It
ran in the family. It was all in the family. So when I was about 12 or 13, and I was already a bit intuitive. When I was a kid, I would ask inappropriate questions, like we had a family friend, and one day she came over and she gave me a hug, and I said to my mother, "Mommy, what's cancer, and why does Miss Florine have it?"
Mm.
And my mother just looked at me, and I think that was the moment she knew I had the gift too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had always been a bit intuitive. But I had an event in my adolescence that really opened the window. And I didn't really recognize the extent of this event till much later. But when I was 13 years old, 13, 14, it was about 13 years old, actually, I was beaten and kicked and stomped into an unconscious state. And I was then hospitalized for a while. And that was a life-changing event for me, because when I came back, I was unconscious for quite a while. But when I came back, I knew stuff. I just knew stuff. And it was so in my bones that there was no doubt in my mind of what I knew. And I didn't recognize the extent of what I knew or the extent of what had happened until years later when I was mature enough to handle it. But what had happened is that I had wanted to die, because the life that I had charted out for myself was, I thought, much more difficult than I had anticipated. You see, when we're in spirit, you know, we think, oh, wonderful love, wonderful light, and we look down on our life or our potential life, and we say, oh, I'm an eternal being, and I'm so bathed in love and light that I can do 70 years down on earth. It might be a little difficult, but I can do it. But, of course, in that moment, we're kind of punch drunk.
Yes. Okay.
And so then when we get down there, it's like, man, this is not what I signed up for. This is too hard.
Gotcha, yeah.
And so I was having one of those, oh, I don't want to be here moments. And, you know, so the situation gave me an opportunity to choose. And so, and this wasn't clear to me until years later, but my spiritual guides and teachers, they were with me, and I said, oh, it's too hard. I don't want to do this. I can't do this. You gave me too big a job. I can't do this, not with the consciousness as it is down there. Oh, just let me out of my contract. And let's do this some other way. I'll be a spiritual guide just like you. I don't want to go back down there. And, you know, they said, well, you can do that if you want, but, you know, you can do this. And so we kind of did a little play. We played a little let's make a deal. And they said, if you go back down, we'll just keep the door open. And that way you'll know we're here and we can support you better.
Mm.
And I said, okay, if you agree to just stay close to me and keep the window open so that I can hear what you're saying and let me know that you're there, then I maybe can do this. And so that's what we did. Now, mind you, I didn't realize that that was the deal that we had made till years later. Because, you know, they never give us all the information until we're ready to handle it. So I just thought I knew stuff. I didn't realize they were whispering in my ear.
Mm.
And so I went on with that. And I would just know stuff. And that was just that. So I continued studying. And I continued growing at my own pace in my awareness and connection with spirit. And by studying, I mean reading voraciously everything that was available to me in the 70s on what has now become the new thought.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, and so I went on about my life. I finished high school. I went to the Wharton School of Business. I went to NYU for graduate school. I was going to be a master of the universe. So I, you know, got jobs with increasing responsibility and became vice president of a computer company. And so I did my other thing as a sideline. And by as a sideline, I mean, I was a closet spiritualist. I was a closet metaphysician. I was a closet channeler. I was a closet healer. You know what I mean. I was a closet medium.
I do.
But then it came the point where I was helping so many people, and I realized that that was so much my soul's work, and that I was deriving so much joy from it. And Spirit kind of, we did another Let's Make a Deal. The other Let's Make a Deal was, you know, if I'm successful enough in business at some point, I may not have to do as much business, and then I can do Spirit's work, and I can do it from a place of comfort and peace. Mm. So we kind of fulfilled that area of Let's Make a Deal. And so I started doing the ministry full-time. And that kind of is where I am now. But the point of all of this is that all that while, my channel kept opening and opening and opening and opening. And I actually became the accidental channel. I never intended to be a channel. It happened accidentally. Mm-hmm. And there's a funny story behind that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was totally an accident. And that about 20 years ago or so at the Tacoma Park Chapel, we started having these Wednesday night prayer and meditation circles. And we actually still have them to this day on Wednesday nights at Tacoma Park Chapel. Well, when we started and we just meditate or whatever, but it started happening that I would get very sleepy in these meditation circles because the energy was so high. And I would fall asleep. And so one night I fell asleep and Spirit started speaking through me. Mm. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? I mean, now granted, at this, I've been doing psychic readings for people and I've been doing some counseling and all that stuff. But I did that fully awake. I didn't know what this sleeping stuff was.
Right.
So that was new. And I said, what the heck is going on with that? And so I kind of said, I'm not going to do this. I mean, I've done enough just coming to these, like, metaphysical churches and getting involved. And if people in my business life knew I did this, although people did know, people would ask me for readings on the side. they'd always... You do readings. They'd ask me for readings on the side. Senior vice presidents of multi-million dollar companies asking me for readings. So I said, oh, let me explore this. So what I would do is I would sit down in my own prayerful meditation. And I would ask a question into the tape recorder. Yes, this was back in the days of tape recorders.
Right.
And then I would, like, go out and let Spirit give me the answer. And so I learned to trust my channel more and more. And eventually then I said, okay, well, we'll do this in public. But Spirit wanted me to do it in public faster than I was ready to do it in public. Because remember, I was still in the closet, right?
Right,
so I wasn't
going
to do this in public. You know, nobody's going to mistake me for Linda Blair. You won't have my head spinning around, and I won't be spitting pea soup.
Right.
Yeah, so I wasn't doing that in public. So I made a deal with Spirit. You know, Spirit is good at making deals. So we played Let's Make a Deal yet again. And I said, okay, I'm not going to channel in public. But what I will do is I will teach a class. I will teach a class of other channeled material. And Spirit's like, yeah, okay, sure, let's do that. We can do that. Well, turns out we got to the class, and I had done the outline, and I had had the books, but I hadn't had a chance to fill in the outline. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of, well, what are we going to do now? I said, well, I guess I'll sit down and talk to you about channeling. So I sat down with the intention of just talking to the people about channeling. Next thing you know, I was out and they were in. I was out and spirit was in.
Spirit set you up.
Yes. They do that from time to time.
Yeah.
Then they call over their other spiritual friends. Hey, Harvey, come get a load of this.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So they set me up, and that's how it began. And so I've been channeling in public for people with amazing healing and amazing results for, about 20 years now. Yeah.
Wow. Wonderful.
That's part of what I do. Yes.
And I'm so glad that you do it, and you do it so well. You serve so beautifully, and there has been just so much healing that has taken place from being around you and receiving what you have allowed to come through you. And I'm just really grateful that you're here this evening. We have quite the queue lined up. And I know that many folks would like to hear some insights, get some support from Spirit to help them, because I know these are tough times for some people. And so we want to make sure that folks receive some support and guidance to help them along. To remind callers, the call-in number is 917-889-7806. Again, that's 917-889-7806. Make sure you press 1 to speak with the host, and that will let me know that you would like to speak with Reverend Jim Webb. All right. Well, before we take callers, is there any instruction that you need to let our callers know before we get started?
Well, I just want to, just prepare them for what they're about to experience. I will work with them in the way that is for their greatest good based on what Spirit guides and recommends. I will likely channel. Some of the information may come through without having the need to channel because there's a continuum of consciousness that we're all on. It will be for their greatest good. I will, to the best of my ability, as I move myself out of the way, ensure that their privacy is supported and that the answer be applicable to as many people as possible. So even if you don't have a chance to ask your specific question, the answer might be in a question that someone right before you has asked.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. And before we get going, I'm seeing this queue lineup, I want to make sure we take the time to provide contact information for you as well as for the chapel.
Okay, sure. The contact information for the chapel, it's called the Tacoma Park Chapel, and the telephone number is 301-587-7200. We're of course on the web at Tacoma at www.tacomaparkchapel.org, and Tacoma is with a K. That's www.tacomaparkchapel.org, and it's Tacoma with a K. And our email address is TacomaChapel, TacomaChapel, at netzero.com. So that's how you can get in touch with the chapel. And many people often get in touch with me through the chapel as well. However, you can also reach me directly. My website it's a real easy one to remember, www.revjimweb.com. That's RevJimWeb with two B's, .com, and it's all one word. You can also reach me. My line is area code 202-253-6009, and you can reach me on my line as well. So the website is www.revjimweb.com, or you can reach me by my line, which is 202 202- 253-6009. And you can also see me on Facebook as Jim Webb with
all
two
right.
B's.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Well,
we have a caller from the 202 area code who has been holding quite patiently from early on. So actually, we have several 202, but this is with a 368 exchange. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening. I just want to know, Reverend Webb, what do you see in terms of my career in the entertainment industry?
Okay, let's see what we get. Greetings. It is a pleasure to work with you in this way at this time. This path for you in the entertainment industry is a path that is an internal path primarily. You are being prepared from a place of love and light, and this is what we mean. Your success here, your opening doors here, your expansion here is a direct result of attaining a deeper sense of internal love and a deeper connection with the source of all love. For you see, you have chosen the entertainment industry as a means to experience, embrace, and support from a wide body of beings, human beings. And you have done so because you have a strong inner light. Now, in order to allow this to manifest in your life in broader and broader ways, it is helpful that through meditation, through your inner spiritual journey, you expand your connection with the source of all light, and you expand your light. As this occurs, your pathways in entertainment will naturally open. The key here is to remove your ego consciousness that may have felt bruised or beaten down, as doors may not have opened for you as quickly as you would like. As your ego is involved, that crowds out the true light of your soul. So as you nurture your connection with your infinite soul energy, which is the light that truly wants to express and serve others in entertainment, as you nurture this light, the ego and its fears and doubts becomes smaller and smaller. Your skin, so to speak, gets thicker as you realize they are not rejecting you and you do not take it personally. And you then allow yourself to expand as your light has expanded. So understand that your what you would call success in the entertainment industry is a function of your internal growth by nurturing the light within. And that makes your expansion in your outer world, in the form of entertainment, more natural, more effortless, and more rapid. Do you understand this?
Yes, I do.
Good. And this is what we would say to you at this time. We also see that you have agreed on the level of your soul to have doors opened for you in a way that is unexpected, and that by likely by the next period of fullness of trees in your region, there are likely to be some doors opened in an unexpected way This is, of course, contingent on your allowing this energy by expanding your light. So the channel would translate energy that we are transmitting as May of next year, by the next season of fullness of your trees in your region. There will be unexpected doors opening for you as a result of work that it is likely that you will do on yourself in expanding your inner light. Because as your inner light expands, it becomes inevitable that this light must be shown to the world. Do you understand this?
Yes, I do.
And this is what we would say to you at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, caller. All right, wonderful. We have another caller now from the 646 area code. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes, greetings, everyone. How's everyone tonight?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. My question was, I had two job opportunities opening up. One was a little further than the other one, and I was trying to figure out which one would be the better opportunity since I had to pretty much make a choice relatively fast.
Okay. Bear with me as I see what we get on this, okay?
Okay.
Okay, they're requiring me to use kind of my human language and my human experience and my human ability to relate to others with this answer. So I don't feel like I'm going to go into deep channel with this one, because what it feels like to me as I step into this one is the one that seems to be a little further away feels like it offers more opportunity. What it's important to understand is that God can see around corners that we can't, and spirit can see around corners that we can't. And you might want to turn your radio down, please.
I think I have it on speaker.
Okay. Yeah, you might want to mute that.
Yep.
But spirit can see around corners that we can't. And what they're saying is the one that seems a little bit more further, the one that seems a little further away or a little more remote or a little less in grasp, so to speak, seems to have more additional opportunities available in it, more expansion.
Hmm.
It feels like it's the word they're using is fertile. It feels like the more fertile of the opportunities in the longer run. So don't be put off by the appearances that one seems closer or easier or whatever. That may not be the one that offers the most overall opportunity or the most long-run opportunity. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what I get around that.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you.
All right. You ready for another one?
Sure.
We have a caller from the 719 area code. Caller, you're on the air with Reverend Jim Webb.
Hi. My name is Julia. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Thanks for calling, Julia.
Apparently, this is a career career theme. Basically, I'm in the process of going through divorce, and I'm going to need to go back into the workforce. I've been a homemaker for a long time, and could use some guidance as far as what career path would be good for me, as far as being able to support myself.
Okay. Let's see what we get. Is it Julie or Julia?
Julia.
Julia. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see what we get. Bear with me. We would say to you, first of all, you need not have undue anxiety about this transition. On the level of your soul, on the level of your eternal self, you have plotted out a path for you that will be more effortless than you perceive at this time. So you may allow yourself to release any conscious or unconscious anxiety about the next phases of your life, because you have already plotted this out in a way that is more effortless than you think and for your greatest good. Now, you will and have already received some guidance here from that place deep within you. We would suggest that you continue with writing and journaling. And some of the guidance that you receive from that place deep within, through your writing and through your journaling, will prove to have been very predictive in offering you the guidance that you seek. You have at times also written, and your writings will have value and support for others as well and will serve you. Do you understand this?
I'm definitely open to that. I'm not sure how it will apply, but I'm open to it.
We would work with you in the following way here. You, by writing out what you are feeling, what you are experiencing, and what is deep within your heart as you move through these experiences, you tease out, so to speak, internal guidance as to what career path you will choose. And we would describe it in the following way. You ultimately want to follow your soul's path in deep fulfillment. And you know what that is from within you. Now, the reason that it is important that it come from within you, and the reason that it is important that you allow this to occur more naturally, is because you are undoing an energy pattern within you where you have often felt that your life was so pre-programmed by what you should do that you did not have as much of a chance to explore your soul's calling. So a part of you now wants to listen to that place deep within your soul and follow its calling, and you know that that is a path of contentment for you, and you know on a deeper level that this new opportunity, this opening, is an opportunity to do just that. So your journaling, your writing, your sharing your experiences right now through writing will lead you to a path, an opening, that will serve you and serve your soul. Now, we would offer you once again the truth that this path will be easier and more effortless than you comprehend right now, because this path is unknown to you now, but it has been preordained on the level of your soul, and it will be more easy and effortless than you can imagine, and you will have the guidance that you need. you have more time and more resources than you think to work this through and to allow this to occur. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Good. There is also with you what we would call a maternal energy that is connected to your heart. This maternal energy that is around you right now as you have opened to it is working with you and the concept of forgiveness of yourself. For a part of you has felt as if you have deprived yourself of your good in deference to others. And this part of you at times feels that you have done yourself a disservice. And so this maternal energy that is with you right now embraces you, filling you with light, love, healing, grace, support, and most of all, understanding and empathy for the choices you have made. There is no reason to regret any of your experiences. So be in a state of forgiveness, which is a state of accepting where you are as a springboard for the divine experience of your life. And be at peace with this. And the light of love will guide you. And this maternal being who understands you and embraces you now will continue to help and guide you. And this is what we would say to you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It definitely sets my mind at ease to know, you know, everything's as it should be and not to worry and have anxiety about the future and the unknown. So thank you for that. That's peace of mind.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you, Julia.
Thank
blessings
you for taking my
you.
Call. Blessings
oh,
to both
sure.
of you.
Thank
Have a great
you.
Week. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, you too. All right. That was just so beautiful. And I'm certainly getting a contact buzz from these messages this evening.
Yes.
We have a caller now from the 703 area code, so this is fairly local. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Hey, how are you? This is Tamara.
Hello, Tamara. I'm well. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. You have a question for Reverend Jim?
Yes, I do. My question is, lately I've been getting these different things that keep coming up that they're all kind of meanings for change, and I've been, people have even come to me and said that there's a change, and kind of with all these different symbols and all these, when people are coming to me and telling me things, it is kind of making me feel a little, okay, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing, what am I taking from this, and I guess it's the fear of the unknown that, what I don't know, should I be preparing for something? And I guess I just want a little perspective of this so-called change that is coming and just basically how to deal with it.
Okay. They want to use me and my human language and personality for a moment, because they feel that that would be most efficient. So I'll go with me first, and if at some point we transition and they come through, we'll let them come through. But the first thing they're talking about for you and for everybody, Tamara, is how we as humans have been conditioned to expect the worst. We're always waiting for that other shoe to drop. And it is important for us to understand that we have been conditioned to believe. We have been conditioned because we have felt fearful. We have believed in this vengeful, withholding, punitive universal force. And so the first thing it is important for us to do is to give ourselves more experience with a universal force that is a universal force of love and healing and guidance and embrace. And as we get to know that universal force, instead of what we have believed to be an angry or vengeful withholding universal force, we can begin to adjust our expectations. And that's where I have come up with a phrase that I use a lot called expect the unexpected best. We often expect the unexpected to be the worst. So we have to prime ourselves and condition ourselves and to allow ourselves to experience, let's call it, the grace and the glory of the light of the creative force. And when we experience the grace and the glory and the light of the creative force more and more and more by giving ourselves more experience with it through prayer, through meditation, through inner work and inner exploration, we find within us the spot within where good resides, where love resides, where expansiveness resides, where healing and optimism resides. And when we get to that place by cutting through all the clutter of our old imaginings, we can expect the unexpected best. And that's what I want to share with you from my perspective. Now Spirit wants a word with you, so I'm going to take a moment to go out and let them come through. It is our honor and pleasure to work with you all in this way at this time. From a very practical perspective, we would like you all to know that there is a force within you that need not be. This force within you that need not be is toiling under the misunderstanding that you are not loved or supported by your Creator. This part of you that need not be has created erroneous perceptions and erroneous images and erroneous energies that can be dissolved by our light. For our light is your light, is the light of your Creator that flows to you now. So we would work with you in this moment and ask you the following questions, one and all. Why do you not deserve the most loving, joyful, expansive, peaceful outcomes in all areas of your life? Why do you not deserve this? take a moment to consider this, or write down all the reasons that come out of your mind or mouth when asked this question: why do you not deserve your good in this area of your life or that area of your life? Why do you not deserve your good? And as you start listing the reasons and ticking off the reasons and itemizing the reasons and feeling the reasons and having flashbacks to experiences that would cause you to believe yourself to be undeserving, if you choose, put them on paper or in your mind or with your mouth, state them. And then state the following: God, lift this error from my mind. Lift this error from my mouth. Lift this error from the paper. Lift this error in thinking from me, for none of this is true. 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 There is no reason for you to withhold your good, for God is not doing so. There is no reason for you to hurt or punish yourself or withhold from yourself, for God is not doing so. There is no reason for you to make your life difficult, for God is not doing so. There is no reason other than the error in your thinking that would cause you to believe that your Creator is not present and loving you and supporting you. Your Creator is very present and loving you fully and supporting you fully. Your Creator, however, cannot get to those places within your mind or those parts of your energy that are walled off or blocked off because you believe yourself to be unworthy of your Creator's love. So you may state in this moment, I am willing to release the blockages to my good. My Creator, God, wants for me my good. And I will now agree with God and allow my good by releasing all the errors in thinking that have caused me to believe in barriers to my good. I will agree with God and allow my good by removing all the barriers that have been caused by my erroneous belief in punishment or guilt, or that I was not loved or supported. I will allow myself now to experience the grace of God and the embrace of God. And I will allow this experience of embrace to teach me by example, that by experience, that I am loved, lovable, holy, holy, and worthy of my good. Yes, let grace teach you by example and experience of your worthiness. For you, when you experience the embrace of grace, by default, you know you are worthy of grace. For if you were not worthy of it, you would not experience it. Do you understand this?
Yes.
So allow yourself, one and all, to repeatedly experience the embrace of grace. And as you experience the embrace of grace, you teach yourself you are deserving of this grace, and you allow more of this grace to visit you, to embrace you, to surround you, to fill you, and to be projected into your world. Allow yourself the embrace of grace that you might expect the unexpected best. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Allow yourself to experience the embrace of grace that you might expect the best. Allow yourself to experience the embrace of grace so you will expect the unexpected best. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Good. And do not judge any aspect of change from the human perspective, which would cause you to believe that change is not good or jarring. There are times when change means releasing that no longer serves you and creating a space for that which will serve you better. And trust God through this process. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Good. Be blessed in the light of God.
Thank you.
Thank you,
you are
so
very
much,
welcome.
Tamara. All right. Well, we still have several callers, and I know that we're not going to be able to get to everyone tonight, but we should be able to do a couple more. One is from the 202 area code with the 200 exchange. So, caller, you're live on the air. Do you have a question for Reverend Jim Webb? Caller? 202 area code, 200 exchange, are you there? If not, we'll move on to caller in the 323 area code. Caller, you're live on the air. Do you have a question?
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
My question is, can I give some information on my love life?
We would work with this. We would work with this from the following perspective that is useful for all and for you. Your love life begins with yourself. How are you loving yourself today? And how might you answer that question? You may answer that question if you choose. How are you loving yourself today?
You're asking me a question?
Yes.
I just go about my day and, yeah.
Is there any part of you that feels unworthy of love?
No.
Good. Take a moment to breathe. Because as you project that energy, I am fully worthy of every loving experience I deserve and desire. You will enhance your experience of love in both casual and more focused ways. You see, everything in your outer world is a reflection of and a result of your internal energy and what it projects to your world. So, if your question is about your external love life, then the real question for you is, how is your internal love life? How are you loving yourself? How are you allowing yourself to feel the energy of love and to vibrate with that energy of love so that that energy is reflected in your outer world in the form of loving experiences and circumstances? And we would offer to you an exercise that is very practical here. The practical exercise that we would offer to you is one that the channel has become fond of calling the one-minute love affair. If there is someone with whom you have a casual relationship, such as someone that you contact every day out of habit, such as a person who sells you coffee or that you contact regularly during the course of your day, practice, first of all, connecting with the universal source of love and filling yourself with that love and sharing love with that person. And notice if there are any differences in your interaction as a result of this. This exercise, as you do it over and over again with many people, is what the channel is fond of calling love aerobics. It strengthens your ability and willingness to stay in and project an energy of love. And as you strengthen this ability, it becomes inevitable that it shows up not only in your casual relationships in the form of more loving harmony, but that it shows up in the form of enhanced, special or long-term or more dedicated relationships with family, with friends, and with others with whom there is a deeper love. Do you understand this? So this is the exercise that we would offer to you, one and all, to expand your experience of love, which opens the gateway to what you call a more supportive love life.
Thank you so much. That caller has dropped, but that, as we know, that message was not just for her. It was for many more who are listening in. And we will take one more caller. This one is from the 301 area code. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes, hi there. I have a question. And this is pertaining to success. I believe in the principle of the law of attraction, which, you know, consists of what you associate yourself with and the energy that you bring into the circle. One of the things, like, I guess the question I would have is, how do you avoid doubt of being able to achieve or to accomplish? Like, because I know, like, that's one of the areas that I struggle with, and I try to alleviate as much as negativity or try to change my atmosphere, but it just seems like I just happen to always deal with that fear and doubt.
We would work with this. The what you call the law of attraction is very real and powerful. It is important for you to know that it is not only what you attract consciously, but also the unconscious energies. Now, as the channel stated early in this broadcast experience, there is your conscious mind that knows and desires its good. And there is the unconscious mind that may be resistant to that good or filled with fear and doubt? Both the effects of your conscious mind and the effects of your unconscious mind are projected in your outer world, that you may see the outer effects of your inner cause. So when you see something outside of you, or hear the voices of doubt reflected to you, your task is to ask the beneficent, loving energy of your universe, your creator, your God, to lift from you the inner energy that would attract this outer voice. In other words, ask God's grace to lift from you internal fear, internal doubt, conscious or unconscious to you, known or unknown to you. Ask the grace of God to lift from you resistance to your good or feelings of undeservingness of your good, conscious or unconscious to you. For if they were not within you, they would not be shown to you in your outer world for healing and transformation. So, yes, it is important and helpful for you to remove yourself from energies that reflect to you fear and doubt. But also it is important to eliminate, heal, transform, or transmute the inner unconscious energy that attracted this to you in the first place to draw your attention to it. And that is how you can allow the law of attraction to attract to you that which you want, desire, and deserve most easily and most effortlessly. Do you understand this?
Yes.
You see, using the law of attraction is also about healing, transforming, and shifting the inner consciousness that stands between you and that which you desire to attract. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Good. Good. And we have healing grace to share with all who participate now. So take a moment to receive the healing energy we would offer to you now. Good. Be blessed and in God forever.
Thank you. Thank you, caller.
All right. Thank you.
Just have to take another breath to receive in all that has been shared this evening. I would like to thank you, Reverend Jim Webb, as well as the masters that you channeled who came through with wonderful support and insight and healing and love. And are you back with us, Reverend Jim?
Yes, I am. And you know what I forgot to mention before, Tanya?
What's that?
For those who are local, I do this channeling thing every Monday night here at 7960 West Beach Drive in Washington.
Wonderful. Could you repeat that again for folks who may not have had a pen in hand?
Yes. I do this thing called Channeled Messages from the Masters every Monday evening at 7:30 here, and the address is 7960 West Beach Drive, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20012. And it's open to all who choose to attend. You can come, you can receive healing, you can receive messages, and it's a wonderfully transformative experience every Monday night at 7:30.
Thank you for sharing that. And if you can again give your contact number so that folks can get a hold of you to ask questions, if they want to follow up and receive some of your healing services, we want to make sure that they know how to get a hold of you.
Sure. I can be reached at area code 202-253-6009.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm sorry we did not get a chance to get to all of the callers who had specific questions, but once again, there was so much in what you shared for those who were listening. I know I received mine, so thank you very much.
You're so welcome, Tanya. It's my pleasure, and thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, sure. And I would like to invite listeners to tune in again on the first and second Sunday. In November, we have not announced our first Sunday guest, but our second Sunday guest will be Canadian blogger and author Madeline Somerville. And she'll be here to talk about her new book, All You Need Is Less, The Eco-Friendly Guide to Guilt-Free Green Living and Stress-Free Simplicity. And so I'm in the process of reading that now, and I'm looking forward to speaking with her. We have some other good stuff coming to finish out the year. If folks would like to contact me, please, you can reach me by email, tanya@mindbodyandspiritworks.com, for more information about my holistic healing, teaching, coaching and writing services, including my blog, Mind, Body, and Soul Food Meanderings, on how to order my meditation CD, Reiki trainings, aromatherapy workshops, as well as my sacred events. And we have one coming up on December 13th. It's called the Mind, Body, and Soul Food Holiday Heal-a-thon in Sales.
Yeah.
And that will be at the Tacoma Park Chapel house location in Silver Spring. And that will feature gifted healers providing individual services for your relaxation, an array of vending items that will make wonderful holiday gifts, and delicious food. So you can check more information out, my website, mindbodyandspiritworks.com, or you can reach me on Facebook, too. So I would love to hear from you. So this evening, Reverend Jim uplifted and inspired us with his channeled messages. For leftovers, I will leave you with some mind, body, and soul food to go from Scottish scientist James Dewar. Minds are like parachutes. They only function when they are open. All right, well, may your minds and hearts stay open until we next dine again at the Mind, Body, and Soul Food Table.